Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you again for another opportunity. Every time we open the Bible, we see amazing things. We pray that today you will help us, Lord, to have good understanding. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, you may be seated, please. And let me share the word of God with you. Amen. And wow. Are you blessed already today?
Oh, yeah.
Are you glad you came to church?
Oh, yes.
There is no place like church that can affect you and that can bless you and help you. Amen.
Amen.
Never stop going to church. It will be a blessing for your life. Amen. All right. Today I want to share with you a very simple, short message. Amen. The title is How to Become a Fruitful Christian. Amen.
Wow.
We have been sharing about demons for a long time and how to deal with demons. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe that by now we are sufficiently educated about demons to be able to deal with any and every demon that comes into your life. Amen.
Amen.
It is important for a Christian to have victory over evil spirits.
Amen.
And you actually do have victory over evil spirits. But what is important to do is to exercise the victory. Amen?
Amen?
To exercise the authority that God has given you over evil spirits. And that is very important. Amen. All right. So, number one, we're talking about being a fruitful Christian. Amen. John chapter 15 and verse 16. John chapter 15 and verse 16. John chapter 15 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. Hallelujah. Now, before I go on, I want us to do our memory verse. Right? So let's just share our memory verse before I continue. I don't want to forget, or I don't want to leave it till the very end. Are you with me? All right. You all are sounding very cool today. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Have you found Luke chapter 12? Put the memory verse on the screen. Luke 12, 15. It says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Amen.
Amen.
That's a very powerful verse.
Yeah.
Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Wow. All right, let's try it. 1, 2, 3, go. Luke 12:15. And said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. One more time. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 12:15. Right, let's try it again. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 12:15. Amen. 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 I think it's a very nice verse. Meditate on it the whole week. Amen. You can have your quiet time with this verse every single day of the week. Yeah, where you just open the Bible, you look at it, and you try to analyze it, and God will bless you and give you understanding. Say amen. Amen. Right. So back to how to become a fruitful Christian, right? It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Amen. Amen. This verse sounds like one that may pop up along the line as one of the memory verses. What do you think? It's a very powerful verse. But here, Jesus is speaking. If you have one of those Bibles where the words of Jesus are in red, you will notice that this particular verse is in red. And it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. Amen. He said, I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Amen. Amen. The purpose for which Christ has saved us and left us here is so that we will go and bring forth fruit. Amen. Otherwise, it really doesn't make much sense to be saved and remain here. This world has a highly contaminating effect on Christians. Is it not true? This world can make you even into an unbeliever. As you remain in the world, you are constantly under pressure and temptation to backslide. Is it not true? Yeah. As you are in the world, you are always subject to temptations. Christianity is so difficult sometimes. When you are in a certain environment, sometimes you are so dry, you know. Yeah, it's so dry, so difficult to sort of forge ahead. You see what I'm saying? So it almost doesn't, you wonder, why will God save people by his precious blood? I mean, if you are washed by precious blood, you must be precious, isn't it? So if we are that precious, why save us and leave us right here on this earth? Do you see? So that is what must make you think as a Christian. That there ought to be a purpose for remaining here on earth after you are saved. There ought to be a reason why God has left us here after we are saved and washed by his precious blood. Now, this verse right here reveals the reason. He says that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That means that between you and I, you know, I dictate the terms of our engagement. Do you understand? I am the one who determines what this relationship is about. Hallelujah. It's like going to work one day and your boss telling you, you didn't hire me, I hired you. What do you think he's trying to tell you?
What you better do what I want. Do you understand? Because sometimes in the workplace you can be confused as to who is who. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you can be confused as to who is who. And especially when you have the boss and they involve you in their decision taking and planning and all these things, at a point you can actually think you are the boss. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you find the boss telling you, listen, you didn't hire me. I hired you. That statement alone, it doesn't even have to be followed by anything. But it just sets the terms of the relationship and sort of repositions everybody and gives everyone good understanding of what they should be doing. Amen. So Jesus is saying that you didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. The Christian's goal is to bring forth fruit. Amen. This is one of my favorite preachings or one of my favorite subjects to talk about. Yeah. Yeah, it's what I like to talk about most. That's right. That a Christian is here to bear fruit. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I can talk to you all day about it. Yeah, and you bring all the verses you have about other reasons why Christians are here. Do you see? Because today Christianity is now turned into something else. People go to church for different reasons. You get it? Churches that offer a promise of, let's say, prosperity or deliverance or something tangible, that some kind of tangible addition to your life, seem to be the most popular churches today, and they seem to be the largest churches today, because people are just looking for things and things and things and things. Do you see? That must be the reason why we are learning the verse, Bamri verse today, isn't it? Yeah, the scripture of the week says, look, take heed and beware of covetousness. You know, and covetousness is just that thing in you, everything you see you want. You want it, you want it, you want it, you want it, you want it. And your whole orientation in life is just about getting things. And therefore, your favorite pastor is the pastor who promises that you will have things. Your favorite church is the church that is always talking about things and just keeping us. In fact, I believe that there are some churches where if Jesus was to show up and say, come to heaven today, they would say, oh, Lord, how? Yeah, they'll say, oh, Lord, how? Not today, not today. Wait, 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 wait. You know? Yeah. We are getting to a place where we are falling more in love with the world than we are with the Lord and with heaven. Hallelujah. But if we keep our eyes on the goal and the purpose of being here, we run a smaller, much smaller risk of falling in love with the world more than the Lord who is keeping us in this world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he said, look, I've chosen you that you should go and bring forth fruit. God wants us to go and bring forth what? Fruit. You know, we must have that understanding. I'm talking about how to be fruitful. To be fruitful, you have to have that understanding that your purpose here is to be fruitful. That you will go and bring forth fruit. Then he said the rest of the time should also be devoted to making sure the fruit you get remains. Do you see? That the fruit you have will remain. Hallelujah. And then God has cleverly connected it to the answers to our prayers. Do you understand? That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So perhaps, maybe the easier way to have our needs met is actually to fulfill the terms of our engagement. What do you think? Because look, people who work well don't have to beg for a salary. Is it true? If you show up at work, Paul, if you show up at work and do the hours that are assigned to you, do you have to beg them for the paycheck? Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah. Does the paycheck just roll in? Yeah? Every couple of weeks, every 2 weeks? Do you have to go and ask them for it? Do you remind them that today is Friday? Are you paid on a Friday? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So perhaps the reason why we are lacking so many things as Christians is perhaps the lack of fruit, do you understand, has turned into a hindrance to our prayers. It makes our prayer, because he said that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He may give it you. He may give it you. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hallelujah. God wants to answer our prayers. Hallelujah. God wants to answer our prayers. And to answer our prayers, God says that we need to do what we were chosen and ordained to do. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We need to do what we were chosen and ordained to do. You know, when you're in the Lord, there are so many things. There are so many blessings. And you see, all these blessings are also in the scriptures anyway. Do you understand? If you meet a pastor who says, God will bless you, you will prosper, and so on, he's not lying to you. It's the scripture. The scripture, all the people that walk closely with God, they were very prosperous people. Do you see what I'm saying? All the people that work closely with God, they were very prosperous people. They were all blessed people. One of the blessings or that things that come out of blessings is riches.
Yeah.
So it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh what? It maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. When God blesses people, they become rich also. It's just one of the things. You cannot hide from that. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's not that we do not believe in that. We do believe in that. I do believe in that. I do believe in riches. Yeah. I do believe that God blesses people, and when God's blessing is on you in a certain way, you're going to be rich.
Amen.
That is what will happen to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But our obsession with riches, do you understand? Which is often feeding our innate desire to have more and more things, which is the same as covetousness. Hallelujah. It's the same as, and he said, look, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he has. Your life is not defined by the things you have. Hallelujah. That is good news for you. Even if you don't have anything, your life is not defined by what you have or what you don't have. Hallelujah. Your life must not be defined by things. You see, sometimes people are tricking us and deceiving us. They want us to buy the things they sell. Say, you are what you wear. You are what you wear. Everyone who's selling something says, you are what you wear. The ones who sell food say, you are what you eat. Do you see what I'm saying? Those who sell cars says, you are what you drive. You know, so everybody is trying to define you, make you think that something you have defines you. But today the scripture has exposed them. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Hallelujah. Look, let us keep our eye on the purpose for which God called us. And the purpose is to be fruitful. And I can tell you that if your life is a fruitful life, if your life is a productive life in Christ, there is no way that you're going to be poor. Hallelujah. God will meet your needs. God will use so many people to meet your needs. There will be so many people who are so grateful to you for the fruit that has come out of your life. You just can't go hungry. They are going to be there. Even the expression of gratitude to you, that alone is going to bless you. Are you following what I'm saying? That alone is going to bless you. It's going to bless you greatly to be a fruitful Christian. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about fruitfulness. You know, let me share this verse with you. It's in Psalm 127. You know, it's talking about fruitfulness. Psalm 127, you know, let's go to verse 1. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Right? Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early. Verse 3. Lo, children. Can you see that? It says, lo, children. Lo, or look, children. That means fruit.
Wow.
Do you understand? Wow. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
Wow.
Can you see that? Yeah. Then the next one, the next verse. Next verse. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth.
Wow.
Right? Then the next verse. Verse. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Hallelujah. Now, it would seem like this verse is talking about children, like having babies. Do you understand? But I believe that it is talking more about spiritual children. Do you understand? Having spiritual children, having fruit out, born out of your life. Do you understand? And if you take it that way, even if it's talking about, you know, physical children, great. But then the word fruit also occurs there. And you can see that children are compared to fruit. It's called the fruit of the womb, isn't it? That means the product of the womb. And the Bible says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Full of what? Fruit. So if children are a natural physical fruit, then spiritual children are spiritual fruit. Do you understand? And the Bible says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. It says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate because of their fruit. Hallelujah. When the enemies of poverty and sickness come, your fruit will rise up in your defense. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So we need to be fruitfulness minded. Amen. We need to be fruitfulness minded. You have to have it in your mind and make it your goal to be fruitful. Hallelujah. The Bible says you are blessed to be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12. And verse 2, he said, and I will make of thee, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, he said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Can you see that? Thou shalt be a blessing. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. God said, I'll bless you, and you will be a blessing. Amen? God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. God has blessed us with salvation so we can be a blessing with salvation to others. God has blessed us with healing so we can be a blessing with healing to others. God says, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Hallelujah. Do you want to be a blessing? Many people like to say, Abraham's blessings are mine. But you can see that one of the components of Abraham's blessing is that it makes him a blessing. Hallelujah. So God wants you to be a blessing. You must trust God to be a blessing. You must believe God and say, Lord, I want my life to overflow unto others. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be a difficulty for people. But rather, I want to be a blessing. Hallelujah. I want to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Now, let me share one last thing with you before we close. And that is that to be truly fruitful, you have to have definite spiritual goals. Hallelujah. You have to have spiritual goals. Amen. You have to have spiritual goals. You will be fruitful if you decide to have spiritual goals. Amen. You want to bring him? I think it's a bit warm here even. Hallelujah. You will be fruitful if you decide to have spiritual goals. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A lot of us have ambitions, but they are all worldly ambitions. If you were to call on the average Christian and ask him or her to list the top 10 things they are heading towards in life. Do you understand? If you just ask a Christian, just tell me the top 10 things you are hoping to achieve in the next 5 years. You see that our top 10 list, top 5 list, top 2, top 20, whatever the number is, it just doesn't include any spiritual goals. Is it true or false? It is true. Some people are hoping that in my top 10 goals, in 5 years, in 10 years, I'm going to own a Lamborghini. Yeah, I'm going to own a Lamborghini. Do you see some people in 5 years, I want to build my house. You know, I want to own a house. In 3 years, I want to do this. I want to become this. I want to become vice president of such and such a company. I mean, we have all these goals. You rarely hear somebody say, in 5 years, I want to be the pastor of a church. Yeah. I want to, in 4 years or 2 years from now, I want to see myself having won 20 people to Christ. Most of our goals are very carnal. They are not spiritual. Hallelujah. They are not spiritual. And that is the reason why we do not bear much fruit. Because we are not spiritually ambitious. But I want to encourage you this morning to add spirituality to your ambitions. Hallelujah. Decide to have spiritual goals. In addition to hoping that you become the vice president in 3 years. Do you see that you become the vice president of your company in 3 years? In addition to that, you add also a spiritual goal. Amen. That in 2 years, I want to be praying for 3 hours every day. Hallelujah. You have spiritual goals, and these will make you, they will make you to become fruitful. Hallelujah. I'm praying that God will make us a fruitful church. I'm praying that every member of this church is going to be a fruitful Christian. That we will be fruitfulness minded. Hallelujah. That no matter what your life lacks or what you is on your heart or what you desire to have or whatever, if you will begin to learn how to move towards fruitfulness, you may be surprised that your answers are in your fruit. Hallelujah. That your answers are in your fruit. You see how the verse we read, Psalm 127 and verse 5, says they will, the fruit you have will speak to the enemies in the gate. Instead of you going to the gate yourself to address the enemy, he says your fruit will speak on your behalf to the enemies. Hallelujah. So let's become fruitfulness minded. Let us be determined to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Let's be determined to bear fruit. Every Christian must make it their aim that I want my life to bear fruit. Hallelujah. Look, after you've worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked, you will find out that all that you achieved from working is just putting food on the table for yourself. That's what you realize you have done. You will realize that you have spent 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is, just eating. Yeah, that's all that you do. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now you're just buying more food and paying rent and paying mortgages and paying car notes, you know, until the car gets, by the time you finish paying for the car, it's old. You want another one. And then you continue to just pay and continue to just pay and continue to pay. And you just see your life just running around. One day you wake up, you are 60 years old. Yeah. Do you see? When I was younger, I would have said that one day you wake up and you are 40 years old. What a show. Amen. But now, one day you just wake up and you're 60 years old. 75 is still far. Yeah. You just wake up and realize that you're 60 years old. And what did you do? Yes, you bought a car, but the car is old. The car has dents on it. The car, is this what I spent my whole life doing? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You really, maybe you may have the house that you, your dream house or whatever. But I tell you, there are people who live in houses that represent much more than your dream house. And they are not happy. Yeah. When you don't have something, you always exaggerate what it will give to you or what it will add to your life. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, we all are like that. When you don't have a job, when you don't have money, you just feel that if somebody has money, can you imagine that someone is standing somewhere watching you as you drive your little car and they're just thinking, man, if I could get that car, that guy really feels good in that car. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. None of these things, even if we achieve them, will bring any meaningful satisfaction to our lives. Happy is he who has fruit. It says, happy is the man who has fruit. Happy is the man. I mean, pray that one day you look around you and you see so many people who owe their faith to you. So many people who are flourishing in the Lord because of you. Pray that you'll be able to point to so many people who have come to know Jesus because of you. So many people who have become committed to Christ because of you. So many people whose gifts have come out. Anytime I see someone doing well, sometimes I try to think about the person who invited that person to Christ or invited that person to the church. I mean, how proud you must be of yourself that look at what you have done. Do you understand? Look at what you have done. I mean, we work in places and do all sorts of things. They just clap for us, you know, for 2 days or so. And then it's over. It's over. Nobody even remembers that you did what you did. Hallelujah. But when you bear fruit in the Lord, that is one part of your life that cannot be crossed out. When you help somebody, you convert and you turn people into righteousness. The Bible says, those that turn many unto righteousness, they will shine as stars forever. There is no expiry for that. It doesn't expire. Hallelujah. It says you will shine forever. Amen. So make it your aim to be fruitful. Pray about being fruitful. Pray to the Lord. Ask God, how can I be more fruitful? Ask God, how can I be more fruitful? Show me things to do that will make me more fruitful. Show me how I can be more fruitful for you. Because I understand that is my calling. That is my purpose. It says, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That is your mission. And keep the mission in front of you. Hallelujah. And as we keep the mission in front of us, as we keep the mission before us, God will provide. Amen. There will always be provision. Amen. I said, God will provide. Amen. God will provide for you. Amen. God will give you a car to go on visitations. Amen. Yeah, if you go on visitation. But you see, many of us, the reason why you want a car is so you can check. You can just check that, okay, yeah, I got the car. Do you see? Because you have a top 10 list. That you have a car by so-and-so, you have this by so-and-so, and God is not connected to it at all, and is not connected to your purpose for living. But I know that God will provide cars for people who want to be fruitful, who want to use it to bear fruit, people who want to go on visitation, people who want to go plant churches, people who want to go preach in places. What is a car? God will give you a car. Yeah. Even you'll be looking for someone to give the car to and you can't find one. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many understand what I'm sharing with you this morning? So have spiritual ambitions. Amen. Decide that I'm going to do something with my life. I'm going to do something for God with my life. I want my life not just to count for the things I do at the place I work or whatever I'm studying in school, but I want my life to be purposeful. I want my life to yield fruit. Amen. And define success by bearing fruit. Of course, why not? That is the only true definition of success for a Christian. If you have been chosen and ordained to go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit will remain, then the definition of success for you is that you did bring forth fruit and that your fruit remained. What do you think? So you can't call yourself successful because you got married and had four children. That's not your purpose. Hallelujah. You can't call yourself successful because you became the vice president of your company. You can't call yourself successful because they made you the supervisor at your job. At KFC. Do you understand? A supervisor of fried chicken. When chicken is being fried in many places without supervisors. Chicken can be fried without a supervisor. Maybe you don't know. They are just flattering you. Hallelujah. The definition of success for a Christian is that he has fulfilled what he was chosen and ordained for. What do you think? Yes, you are chosen. He says, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. So you went and you brought forth fruit and your fruit has remained. You are a successful Christian. Can I have an amen? You are a successful Christian. You did not go and bring forth fruit, or you went to bring fruit and the fruit did not remain. You are not a successful Christian, no matter how high you have been promoted at work. No matter how big your house is that you live in, no matter how great the car you drive, no matter how much money you have at the bank, you are not a successful Christian because you have not fulfilled what you were chosen and ordained to do. Hallelujah. We're going to be successful Christians. Successful Christians. Chosen and ordained to bear fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close this afternoon. Amen. Wow. Praise God. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and say a prayer to the Lord this afternoon and ask for nothing other than fruitfulness. Amen. Ask God to make you fruitful. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be fruitful. Please make me fruitful. Make me fruitful, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray, pray and ask God for fruitfulness. You have asked God for so many other things. You've asked God to promote you. You've asked God to lift you up. You've asked God to give you a green card. You've asked God to bless you with so many things. What about the real purpose for which he saved you and left you here? What about the real reason? He said, I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit to remain. What about that? How come you don't pray about that at all? Why do we talk to God about anything else but the real reason why he chose us? Pray, everybody, and ask God. Say, Lord, please make me fruitful. I know I have so many other things I wish you would do for me, but today I don't want to talk about any of them. I'm just asking for one thing. I want to address the one reason why you have chosen and ordained me, which is for me to bear fruit. Yes. That, Lord, I realize that perhaps if I was to be fruitful, if I was to be a fruitful Christian, I may not even have to ask for all those other things. I may not have to ask for all those other things. If I was a fruitful Christian, my prayers will be answered more speedily. That you will bless me. That you will bless me. You will bless my family. You will bless everything I have on every side. You will bless my career. You will bless my finances. You will bless my health. If I was to be fruitful, you will have a reason to bless me. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing today. Thank you for what you have taught us. I pray, Lord, for a mind to be fruitful. I pray that our church members will be people who are spiritually ambitious. And their ambition will be directed towards being fruitful, fulfilling the purpose for which you chose and ordained us, that we should go and bring forth fruit, and that the fruit should remain. I pray, Lord, that you deliver us from backsliding from the goal, backsliding from the mission, backsliding from the purpose for which you chose us and ordained us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing, in the name of Jesus. Now, as we close, I want to give you an opportunity this afternoon to give your life to Jesus. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Or you have given your life to Christ, but you know that you have not been serious. You know that you have strayed. You've gone off. Perhaps you're one of those who's not even thinking about fruitfulness at all. That you're thinking about how God will bless you with money, how God will bless you with a husband, how God will bless you with a wife, how God will bless you with promotion on the job, how God will bless you with a house, a car, a green card, so many things on the list, but not how God will make you fruitful. Today is a good day to rededicate your life to Christ and say, Lord, I want to start afresh with you. I want to be realigned to your purpose and your mission, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you, if you're here like that, just to stand where you are, just raise up your right hand. I'll just say a quick prayer for you. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to go back to God. I want to be serious with him. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding me about fruitfulness. I thank you, Lord, for bringing it to my attention that my calling is to be fruitful. That the reason why you chose me and ordained me is so I would bring forth fruit. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing my heart to go after other things. Forgive me, Lord, for being too focused on things that are supposed to come to me as a benefit, but which are not the reason for the call. Help me to stay with the call. Help me to stay with the mission. To bear fruit, that my fruit will remain. Thank you, Jesus, for strength to bear fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. Clap for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you know, just as we were praying, I believe the Holy Spirit brought something to my mind that, you know, if you work for a company, one of the common benefits companies give to people is what they call a health benefit. Do you realize that? If you work for a good company, they give you a health benefit. The health benefit is to help just keep you healthy. Do you understand? You don't have to beg for it. It comes with a job. Do you understand? And the Lord was showing me that healing is one of the things that come to people who work for Him and who are fruitful. That if unbelievers, do you understand? Actually, if you think about it, why must a company give you a health benefit? Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, it's so expensive. Why do they have to give you a health benefit? Why that in particular? Do you see? Yeah. Why that in particular? But you realize that it's just a blessing that just comes. You work for us. We want you to be healthy. Hallelujah. So you see the scripture that says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Do you imagine that that will be in a vacuum? Do you imagine that God is just all over the place, just telling His children, I wish above all things that you'll be prosperous and have good health? Do you know any company that is offering health benefit to everybody? Just, I wish above all things that you'll be prosperous and be in health. Can you imagine some company doing that? It's for the people that work for them. Yeah. It's more conceivable. It's more conceivable that if you are doing what God engaged you to do, one of His wishes for you will be that you prosper and be in health as your soul is prospering. Hallelujah. And if an unbeliever, even an unbeliever can offer it, an unbeliever can just offer health benefit at a very high cost to someone who works for them. Even sometimes the people come to work for him with diseases, they brought their disease to the workplace. But he says, I'll help you take care of it. Yeah. Sometimes you see their wives are making babies. It has nothing to do with them. I mean, I hired you. You are now making babies in your house. But I say, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. Make your babies. I'll pay for it. God is going to pick up many of your bills. God will pick up many of your concerns as you choose to be fruitful. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a fruitful Christian. I'm a fruitful Christian. Say, from today, I'm joining the fruitful ones. My place is with the fruitful ones. Amen.